Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab, hope you're well, inshallah.
Wa alaikum assalam. Maulana, how's everything? Everything is fine here in the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. What about the Democratic Republic of South Africa? How's everything over there?
Can we call it an Islamic Republic, or is it just like Iran? We have to, they call it Islamic Revolutionary Guard, so we take out Islamic and we say this is Iranian Revolutionary Guards. So, yeah, the Democratic of South Africa, if you see, just yesterday they put ANC, the, you know, about the whole GNU, the all this coalition, this with the DA and all of this, yeah, General National Unity, and this is with the DA, etc. So they put the ANC because they still won, but not, it wasn't a like a landslide victory. So, but wow. Just yesterday I saw that they are, if you take 7,000 organizations, and this was done by an investigation, 7,000 organizations, ANC, which is our, you would say our party, everyone voted, 40% of South Africans voted for ANC. We are there in those 7,000. They are number 16. 16 out of 7,000. Okay. So yes, South Africa. This is where we at.
This is democracy, you know. This is democracy.
Corruption rules.
This is what they're trying to bring all over the world, correct?
Exactly.
Taliban, you know, Iran. Every place where there wasn't democracy, they wanted to bring it there because the people would be better with democracy. Okay, if you say so.
That is why they say democracy. Demoncracy. Because of the demon style that they rule with. Mufti Saab, with regards to this year, the killing of Ismail Haniyeh, we'll say Rahmatullah alayhi, he is now, this is just too good to be true, and this is my question to you, Mufti Saab, that he walks into Tehran, right? Now he's got his residence there where he goes, and he went actually for this to attend the swearing-in ceremony of Iran's Republic's new president, Masoud Pezeshkian. So he reaches his premises, and there a bomb strikes, and him and his bodyguard is wiped off. Isn't this too strange, ironic, because he's just walked in? I mean, remember, Israel, now, automatically on the news, Iranian side, they are saying Zionists have done this, yeah. They've already gone to that so that it leaves no blood on their hands. But this is too, something seems not right, because they want the leaders of Hezbollah, but they can't catch them. All of a sudden, Ismail Haniyeh walks in, and they direct target, and you caught him. How does this play out? Or is it really that Tehran, Iran, they have a hand in this?
It's possible. Like Iran and Israel, they're brothers. They're closer to each other than Iran is to Islam. So, it's possible. Allah knows this. Okay, Allah allows it to happen. That's how I look at it.
Yes, and that's exactly what we as Muslims are. We don't just take everything what the news tells us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mufti Saab, you know better, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله, that beware of the vision of the believer because he sees with the light of Allah. So everything that they throw upon us, we don't just accept. And of course, we know very well there is this always this hype, but there's something really behind it between Iran, of course, it is the illegitimate sons of the Jews, and Israel is the mother, and the husband, I said, is the US, the grandfather is Rothschild. So that's the bigger picture.
That's the children.
And so this is what we faced with, and I don't know, Mufti Saab, you've got more of a better way of analyzing the issue.
No, I didn't look at that. Okay, I didn't look at that event. So really, you're catching me off guard. Because again, you know, everything is under the control of Allah. So I'm not surprised. Was it possible? Yes, of course it was possible. And so just people like that. You know, it's true. The Muslim looks at things with the fellowship, the nur of Allah. And what believe the Quran say about the person who asks, "Oh Allah, why are you making me blind? Saying I'm blind in the next world when I have sight in this world?" And Allah said, "No, it's not your eyes, all right? It's your heart." Mm-hmm. And most of us, and you know, more than 90% of us, our hearts are dead, all right? So we really don't see. We really can't see because we have no heart. Imam Jalani, he said, "We say, 'Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in,' 1,000 times with our tongue and not one time with our heart." That was good. And that wraps it up. We don't see anything. We have no duty.
And that's, we always have to go back to the Quran Sharif, we always have to go back to the Hadith Mubarakah, so that we are guided in these difficult, tough times. And this is what I was saying just before we joined you, Mufti Saab, that imagine you are faced with so many difficulties, and that's how you become the friend of Allah, when your response is good. When you say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," when you faced with it and it gets more intense. We've seen over the past few weeks certain people, what kind of difficulties that you're in South Africa. I'm not even talking about Palestine. I'm not even talking about Gaza. I'm not even talking about other areas of the world. And they were faced with individually with so much of difficulties. But when they passed, or before they passed away, they said the words, "I want to meet my Allah. This is the time now. I want to go to meet my Allah." So this is what we've seen, that people are ready to give their lives, but Allah wants to see that sincereness. That sincereness is your response during these difficult times. I've just been checking, browsing now, and we've seen Ismail Haniyeh's, they say about 60 family members of his was killed in his lifetime, 60, his children, his grandchildren, so he has become like the target. And how they threaten you is not by, you know, Mufti Saab, maybe you know better on this, where it was Sheikh Anwar Olaki's daughter was killed also, and this was with a drone. So, and she was about 10 years of age. So what did she do? So they then threaten you like this to stop what you are going to do. So like this, they did it with Ismail Haniyeh. He said, "You know, you can kill my children, you can kill my grandfathers, my grandchildren, whoever it may be. I'm still going to carry on with this to protect wherever I can in the best means possible." So his grandchildren, 4 of his grandchildren, his own children also killed. These are how they actually operate, and they come for you in this manner, yeah. And naturally, for me, for different people, Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us. But if this is taking place, then our own wives will say, "Come on now, yeah, I think it's time you stop now. Look, our children are..." So, Mufti Saab, we have 3 more minutes.
It shows how Allah loves you. It shows how Allah loves you. When he gives you problems like this. A lot of them really are traveling greater than you can bear, right? The article on, we talked about Allah sending the small punishment before the big punishment. All right? And like you said, if you pass the test, all right, you're going to go straight to Jannah. Okay? And so I was hearing how people who in Philistine who were not practicing before, you know, this invasion, before this war, whatever you want to call it, the genocide, before the genocide started, they didn't practice, and it's reported by doctors that some people, in the middle of their surgery, because the anesthesia wore off, okay, they woke up out in the middle of the surgery reciting Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay, and so how much love did Allah have for them? All right, most of their life they lived, you know, clean shave and, you know, no namaz and everything. And now this big problem has come. You know, look at this. How can they deal with it? But doctors have said people who have admitted, I never practice or I rarely practice. And so they testify, they see these people wake up. Now, think about that, though. Waking up in the middle of a surgery because the anesthesia went off, all right? And you're not screaming and crying and you're reciting Quran. That is just too amazing. Okay, that's Sahaba type stuff.
And yeah, you do experience these strange. Here in South Africa, it was we were at the hospital and my family had Surah Maryam playing, and it was almost time to give birth, and the nurse was a Jew. And she asked my family that, what is this here? Because I haven't heard something like this before. And they said, it's Surah Maryam. And she said, can you please send it to me? Because I've never heard something like this. And she's referring to the Quran Sharif. And then, believe it or not, few months later, she messaged back to my family and said that, you know what? That clip, that audio which you sent me, please send it to me again because I lost it. I lost all my information. Mm. So that shows she was listening to it still. And so there is...
It. And how many of our women will listen to Surah Maryam when they're ready to give birth? All right, very few. Okay? They just want to go to the best hospital. They don't want a midwife, right? They want to go to the best hospital and get cesarean section, okay? Mm. And come back in a couple of months. They have their figure back and they're slim and trim and everything. Mm. All right? But for the Jew, she understood. Subhanallah.
Mufti Sahib, we appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Make dua for us as well. Inshallah, we'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.